Well, hi, everybody. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 19. And I guess I did the last one, number 18, in the wee hours of the morning. So am I accountable for what I said? Well, I thought I could have said a few things better. Anyway, we are reviewing at the moment Hierarchy, Creative Hierarchy number 2 of the Manifested Kind. Now let's see. Not that one. This one. Yes, I'm going to draw another one here, Creative Hierarchies, so we can always refer to them. Okay. These are the unmanifested creative hierarchies, and here are the manifested creative hierarchies, and we're dealing with creative hierarchy number 2. We started talking about it. It's very mysterious in some ways. The second hierarchy is closely allied with the Great Bear. And as I tried to say, although on page 344 of Cosmic Fire, we see that the Great Bear is, or the seven reaches of the Great Bear are said to be focused on the cosmic Buddhic plane. I believe there is some problem with that, or at least there is an additional factor to be considered, namely that their real focus, I believe, or at least an additional focus, is on the cosmic atmic plane and the Pleiades, maybe the seven sisters, maybe all of them, have not an exclusive, but at least a alternative focus on the cosmic Buddhic plane. As well, I think, as on the cosmic monadic plane, because I think the Pleiades are related to the great thousand-petaled head center of the one about whom naught may be said, our super cosmic logos. I know, you know, there's a lot of terms here, and we have to get used to these terms. And of course, as I said, in a way, the book will become easier as we progress, because we are at the present working with sections, and very difficult sections, from Cosmic Fire, which the Tibetan decided to interpolate in the astrology book to give us a wider point of view. So don't despair. Let me do the despairing as I try to clarify some of these things. But anyway, the second hierarchy is closely related to the Great Bear. There is a very strong connection with Aries, Leo, and the Great Bear, although this hierarchy is technically a Virgo hierarchy. We are told that they entered through the second ventricle of the Sacred Heart, and there I began to discuss what really is the Sacred Heart. There are three hearts connected with the solar logos. One of them is the heart of the sun, which we can place on the higher levels of the cosmic mental plane as being the consciousness that works through the egoic lotus of the solar logos. The other is a kind of heart center, which we would expect to find on the second subplane of the cosmic astral plane. Sometimes it seems like it should be called the subjective sun, but sometimes the subjective sun is a term also related to the consciousness working through the egoic lotus on the higher mental plane, cosmic mental plane. And then, of course, there is the question of the monadic heart center, in this sense that the monadic plane on our cosmic physical plane is the second, and it is on the second subplane of planes that heart centers are generally found. Note here, we'll go to the chart on page, this chart. Note that for man, The heart center is found on the second subplane. Also, another heart center on his second subplane of the astral, his systemic astral plane. And so we may infer that for a great logos, solo logos, which sometimes has even a closer correspondence to man than the planetary logos has, we can infer that his heart center is found on the monadic plane, a kind of heart center. And it is it there that the ventricle that we're speaking of the sacred heart, is to be found? The sacred heart presumably is a heart center of the solar logos. Even in Christianity, when we speak of the sacred heart, we mean the heart of the Christ, or a great heart of love, which ultimately is associated with Sanat Kumara as a direct disciple of the solar logos, and ultimately with the solar logos itself, because the Christ is an incipient seventh degree initiate, and it is at that initiation that one becomes a transfigured initiate in the eyes of the, well, of Sirius, and a master in relation to the solar initiations, and therefore in relation to the sun. So this question of what are the sun's hearts is a deep question. The ventricles generally are pumping the blood, the auricles are receiving the blood, and I'm making the assumption here, we hear of the left ventricle and the right ventricle. I'm not sure which is the second ventricle, because he doesn't describe it as right and left, but I am assuming that a great deal of vitality is pumped forth from these ventricles, whether to the higher parts of the body or to the lower parts of the body. Perhaps if we're dealing with Virgo, it would be the service of the immediately present, and the pumping would occur to the lower parts of the body rather than to the higher parts, because there is the service of the lesser lives supposedly located in the lower part of the body. Well, DK uses these extremely occult terms, which are quasi-mystical, but at the same time veil deeply occult realities. This particular hierarchy is said to be the prototypes of the monads, and I discussed with you last time the idea of monadic emanation. And the only thing that can produce a monad is a monad itself. All monads are identical, essentially, but they have, through their vehicles, greater or lesser scopes of awareness. Let's see if I can find that. I'm looking for the Parabrahm. Maybe I'm not going to find that so easily. But I showed that to you last time, page 1230. There it is, Parabrahm. And we see, in a way, how every spirit generates spirits which are identical in nature but are lesser in the scope of their awareness. And every one of these generates seven more and seven more and seven more and so forth. So we're dealing with what Master Moria calls the divisibility of the spirit. It's not a real divisibility, but it's a divisibility in consciousness. So these are the prototypes of the monads. The second creative hierarchy, well, only a monad can be a prototype of another monad, so they must be monads of much greater scope in their awareness and their expression of power. On what level are the monads of this second creative hierarchy found? Well, I would say minimally, on the cosmic astral plane, minimally, perhaps the cosmic mental plane, but let us say, for the moment, the cosmic astral plane. Let's see, we'll go back here just a little bit. If I can find, yes. Mm-hmm. Because in these tables of creative hierarchies, the plane on which a particular hierarchy is listed is not the plane on which its monad is found. For instance, here's the human hierarchy, the fourth, whose field of expression is the Buddhic plane, and yet its monadic location, if you will, is upon the second plane and not the fourth. And I don't know whether this leapfrogging is exactly the way it goes. I don't know whether the lesser builders have their monad on the cosmic physical plane at all. As a matter of fact, I suspect that the higher part of the fifth creative hierarchy, which is the solar angels, do not have their monad on the cosmic physical plane at all, even though they are relatively low in their expression due to sacrificial intent. Because in the previous solar system, they were initiates of all degrees and had to have achieved freedom from the cosmic physical plane of that solar system in order to go to Sirius to develop as solar angels. So they were already liberated onto the cosmic astral plane in some sense. And what is it that travels, after all, when you're going on these cosmic paths? It's none other than the monad that travels. So the monad was, in a way, traveling in ways which we do not understand on the cosmic astral plane towards Sirius. At least this is the speculation. So when we see these different hierarchies manifesting on the cosmic physical plane, some of them will have monads manifesting on the cosmic physical plane, but others, certainly the divine planes, the divine builders, minimally. And I would say the solar angels, and if I include the solar angels, I ought to include the lesser builders, who are still greater lives, I suspect. Some of them will have monads, at least on the cosmic astral plane. That will be the location of those points of being consciousness that we call the monad. Okay, well, that's a little bit of a review. I have to review it in my own mind, because these are very abstract issues, and all we can do is kind of outline some thoughts around these issues, because it is not possible for such as we are to say anything truly definitive, you know, that which we can corroborate with our own experience. We can have enlightened speculation, which may at times touch the intuition, but we cannot ascertain these matters through our own experience. So thus, we are indeed standing upon the shoulders of giants, and the giant in this case is Master DK, as he is inspired by KH and given permission by Sanakumara to reveal these matters, something of them. So they are the prototypes of the monads, and from them, we might assume, the monads emanate. At least a degree of their emanation occurs there. From another perspective, the planetary logoi are the homes of certain monads. Is our Earth the home of the monads found expressing within Earth, or do they have a sacred planet in relation to which they have a truer home? And if some of us are Jupiterian or Venusian or Uranian or Vulcanian, Mercurian monads, is not our true monadic origin more the sun? Because we are told that the monad is that which finds its home within the sun. But then I do believe the sun will even be, in a way, a not an ultimate source. And on it goes. Perhaps we have to trace our monadic origin to the central spiritual sun, or to the one about whom naught may be said, or to the Pleiades, as it were. And even then, that cannot be the ultimate home of the monad, which has to be the one and only identity in cosmos, the universal logos, which is the universal monad, of which all apparently divided monads are an integral part. So it says of these hierarchy number two that they are the source of monadic life, But they are not the monads. They are far higher. Now, what is contained in that word far? We're dealing with huge spans of time, with mahakalpas, which is a mahamanvantara, the duration of a solar system, which separates one order of life from another. So, how far is far? We know that, for instance, the solar angels are at least one mahakalpa ahead of that which we call man today, and here are still higher hierarchies who are how many mahakalpas ahead? Can it be that it takes one mahamanvantara to move up one plane? I think that's a bit of an exaggeration because if the fourth initiation, maybe the fourth initiation was the highest initiation that could be taken in the previous solar system. If that's the case, then the Buddhic plane would have been the achieved focus of those who are now solar angels. So perhaps they did not move off of the cosmic physical plane yet, but others that were involved in that solar system and had they were produced in that solar system, perhaps we're on still higher planes in some way. Now, I'm not sure whether seven is always the number of planes with which we are dealing. The great number of the previous solar system was five. So, was it a system in which the planes, Brahmically, were five in number? As I've suggested, we have a number seven very connected with the number two. For this solar system, our planes are seven. Will the planes be nine in the next solar system, since that is its number? These are speculations, but if we hold these kinds of thoughts in our mind, then some confirming piece of information may drop in and invoke the intuition and give us a certainty on the matter. Well, that was a review, but I get, a little longer than a review. But nevertheless, I was not quite happy with my sleepy state of consciousness when we last talked, or when I last talked to myself, as it were, but talking to you at the same time. All right, well, this hierarchy, this second hierarchy, which is literally the seventh, because if you know how it goes, just keep things in mind. If you count down from the creative hierarchy above, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, the second hierarchy. That is, whether or not they should be called burning sons of desire, because we remember that the term burning sons of desire was applied to the first creative hierarchy. So is this a mistake on the part of those who created the map? Or can both be called burning sons of desire? This is still an enigma. Anyway, it's the seventh creative hierarchy. From in that way of enumerating, is the influx into our system of those who in the first solar system remained on their own plane, which presumably was above the three lower planes, being too sinless and holy to find opportunity in that very material and intellectual evolution. So we don't know. They have been liberated onto the cosmic astral plane. Was their own true plane the cosmic astral plane at that time? For certainly the cosmic astral plane did exist. Or were they simply, as it were, above the fray? And was the intellectual evolution proceeding very much in the dense physical body of the solar logos? So, were they above the dense physical body of the solar logos? And was their own plane the Buddhic of that system, or a plane higher? They seem to be associated with the 246 line. And so we just, we just don't know how many planes there were in that system, but certainly they seem to have been in the cosmic etheric body of that previous solar system. Previous, previous. Okay. Even in this system, which is higher, they will find it impossible to do more than influence the incarnating jivas. So what do? You know, they influence the monads. The let's call it the human monads. Because what is a jiva? But a monad on a pilgrimage. Or in extension, or in incarnation in the lower five worlds. That's what a monad is. There's really no difference between a jiva and a monad, except that a jiva is that part of the monad which goes forth. Because the monad acts in a very Jiminian way, in a sense. It keeps part of itself on its own high level and preserves that kind of greatly expanded unitary consciousness, and sends a part of itself into increasing depths of ignorance, so that its consciousness is increasingly circumscribed as it descends into denser and denser vibratory fields. Okay, so they will influence the incarnating jivas, and imparting to them the ability to realize the nature of group consciousness. In other words, they are influencing the ones who go forth, giving them high unitive perception. Imparting to them the ability to realize the nature of group consciousness, which is of the soul, and the second aspect, the quality of the seven heavenly men, which is group consciousness, but not being able to express themselves fully. Well, you know, I used to think that, I think I mentioned this, you know, were these creative hierarchies, the second, for instance, could it be the heavenly men? But I dissuaded myself from that thought, even though they must necessarily be related to the seven heavenly men. The quality of the seven heavenly men is group consciousness. Of the seven heavenly men is group consciousness, and this creative hierarchy has some of that consciousness which it imparts to the journeying jivas. How do you spell journeying? I guess without an H. The journeying jivas, but not being able to express themselves fully. See, what is expression after all? You know, you need the kind of instrument which is somehow suited to your inner nature. Otherwise, it will not respond to what you are. So presumably, that which the jivas have built, as refined as it may seem to us here on the dense physical plane, is not yet of a caliber, such a caliber that very refined lives can express through it. So anyway, they can't express themselves fully, and they are, in a sense, they are super Brahmic lives. Brahma on the cosmic physical plane begins on the atmic plane. And they are located or in the monadic world. Do they have, are they able to impart anything to the human monads which remain in that monadic world? And it would seem yes. Just the way the triadal lives, the third of the manifesting creative hierarchies, is likely to impart something to the triadal field. So these divine builders, it says conferring soul, well, conferring monadic awareness, I think, cultivating monadic awareness, is liable to be able to influence the monadic vehicle, the monadic field, as well as the jivas, which descend into greater ignorance, but it confers that sense of unity upon those jivas. So probably when the jiva descends onto the higher mental plane, there to set up its location for a number of millions of years, this creative hierarchy is imparting something of the nature of soul consciousness to them, as does the solar angel. Oh, there are so many mysteries involved in this, you know. We're just skirting around the edges here. We really have to know who is who and what is what. And, you know, there are veils here. There are definitely veils. And if the veils are not given by the Tibetan themselves, then certainly the opacity of our own minds provide the veils. Some clues to this mystery will come if the student carefully bears in mind that in our solar system and our seven planes, we have only the physical body of the Logos. Well, you know, not just the physical body, but yes, you know, we realize the etheric physical body of the Logos. And that physical body is a limitation of the expression of his threefold nature. Just in a way, as our physical body, etheric body, is certainly a limitation upon the expression of our soul nature, until we get our etheric physical body so tuned up that a reasonable degree of expression can be brought forward on this, our densest plane. The first or sixth hierarchy might be viewed as endeavoring to express the mental vibration of the solar Logos, you know, connected with Leo. With Leo and the fifth ray. Although this is not to say that our solar Logos necessarily has a fifth ray mind, whatever that might be. You know, it seems more likely the fourth. And the second creative hierarchy, his emotional or cosmic astral nature. So here's what the Tibetan is saying, that creative hierarchy number 1/6 is attuned to the mental vehicle. Mental vehicle of the solar Logos on the cosmic mental plane. And the creative hierarchy 2/7 is attuned to the emotional vehicle of the solar Logos on the cosmic astral plane. And it does, you know, and it makes sense if you realize that rays 1 and 5 are expressing through Leo, so that's definitely the hard line, and rays 2 and 6 in this solar system at least, or with respect to this solar system, are expressing through Virgo. We never know, you know, what rays are actually expressing through a particular zodiacal constellation with respect to other solar systems. Certainly, all rays are expressing through all constellations, even as all rays express through the Earth or through the solar system. But perhaps in a particular constellation, in a particular solar system, we draw forth or specialize certain of the rays expressing through constellations. So maybe ray 2 and 6 from Virgo are more meaningful for us at this time, and we, as it were, magnify them. Whereas maybe in the previous solar system, rays 3 and 7 were magnified by our solar Logos when he attuned to Virgo. So there's a mystery here. It's true that the Earth has rays 1, 2, and 3, monadic soul and personality as its rays, but certainly all rays express through it. And perhaps different planets are affected by our planetary Logos in different ways, depending on the rays they draw forth from our planetary Logos or the rays they can receive. Well, all of this is part of the psychology of the solar system, which, if you think about it, that's really what a treatise on cosmic fire is all about. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on here. This second or seventh hierarchy has for its type of force the second aspect, and that correlates with the cosmic physical plane of the seventh type, and correlates with the numbering from above. Second aspect of the seventh type of force from out the many. Well, you know, you want to make an analogy here. If the second, if the second hierarchy has the seventh type of force, then does the eighth hierarchy have the eighth type of force, and the ninth and ninth, and so forth? But this is the second aspect of this of the seventh type of force. So would the eighth hierarchy have the third aspect of the eighth type of force, and the human grouping have the fourth aspect of the ninth type of force? Well, we're just playing with numbers here, and we really can't be sure of what they mean. Let's go back and see what he said about the first creative hierarchy. Yes, they burned and they rushed. The sixth creative hierarchy has for its energy the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. So, are the forces we are talking about cosmic electrical forces? That's a question. In other words, DK is using different words, perhaps to blind, but perhaps also to say, tell us about things that we cannot fathom. There's the first type. Well, when we read about creative hierarchy number two, it was the second aspect. So type and aspect are similar. And the first, the sixth type of cosmic electricity may be analogous to the seventh type of force. Now, what are the many? We don't know. But one thing we do see is that the numbers given to these hierarchies are indeed significant. The first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity, the second type of the seventh type of force from out the many. And maybe in some way the numbers that go up would also be significant, but he's not speaking of that so much at the moment. Some idea of the relative point in evolution of the solar logos, because remember, he's not a sacred solar logos. You know, he's still part of the quaternary, quaternary of the cosmic logos, in which he plays the role of heart center. So, you know, Sirius is not in the cosmic quaternary, but our solar logos is, and Venus, too, as highly developed as it is for its age, so to speak, a precocious planet, Venus is in our solar systemic quaternary. You would think it would be in the triad above, but no, it's not, we are told. Just think of a mind like DK's, you know, that doesn't have to go running around for references like this, but has it all so proximate, you know, all the different factors are so proximate in his mind that the Mercurian links can occur immediately. Well, one day. Okay, so the solar logos is not a sacred solar logos when he takes his kind of fifth initiation or the third cosmic initiation. Then he will be a sacred solar logos. And when we think about Sirius, certainly Sirius has taken his fifth secondary initiation, and certainly his third cosmic initiation, because there is no evil, we are told, within the sunshine of that major sun. And our solar logos, like our planetary logos, is still fighting it out with the negative forces. So some idea of the relative point in evolution of the solar logos may be gained by the study of the varying aspects of force which he is demonstrating in a particular incarnation. Well, just like for man, you know? Just as is the case for man. By the forces we habitually express, so something of our status, or let's call it spiritual status, can be gathered. It is this energy which drives the monads through into physical incarnation, for it makes itself felt on the seventh plane. Well, in this case, you know, the term burning suns of desire would make sense. And notice the monad in a way, well, in a way, in consciousness, it doesn't descend below a certain point, but except that, in a way, every type of consciousness is monadic consciousness. But the fact that it is the seventh creative hierarchy gives it a special resonance with the seventh plane, and hence with the manifestation of the monad. You know, DK said that by studying the physical and etheric body, you can sometimes tell what the monadic ray is, because there's a very close correspondence between the spirit and densest matter. And this is the case especially when the example he used was when a ray of aspect conditions the dense physical body, and only rays of attribute are supplied for all the other rays of the personality. Then in that case, you can tell, he said, that the individual is a first ray monad. It's the only ray of aspect in the personality, and somehow, apparently, the monad has reached with its quality to that lowest level. Just little snippets, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You just have a couple of little pieces, and you sort through many other pieces in the hope of seeing a connection. Okay, so this energy, this force of this second creative hierarchy drives, now that's a good monadic word, isn't it? Drives, a good monadic word, drives the monads through into physical incarnation. Well, what does that really mean? Physical incarnation can mean the incarnation in the dense physical body of the solar logos, but let us also assume that it relates to the seventh solar or systemic plane, which is really the home of our incarnations in the Cancerian sense. We have physical matter and etheric matter right here on our lowest plane. The energies which are functioning are those which the Logos has unfolded. This implies that there are some that he has not unfolded, and are the gain of previous incarnations, telling us that the Logos has certainly had more than one incarnation as a solar Logos. In fact, he's had five. You know, we have to be careful using the word major solar system and then just simply solar system. This is our second major solar system we're in right now, but it's our fifth solar system altogether. Gaps necessarily occur, just as in the development of a human being. We are not all equally developed. According to our ray types, there tend to be discontinuities in our development. And certain types of force are lacking because he has as yet much cosmically to gain, and perhaps mental forces, because that's what he's working on now. Perhaps mental forces. Although, you know, the mental body is expressing through Leo, the astral body is expressing through Virgo, does this mean that somehow through the seventh sign, Libra, the etheric physical body will be expressing? Because if you think about it, Libra has as its hierarchical ruler Saturn. And Saturn is the lord of the entire cosmic physical plane. So here is the planet Saturn expressing most powerfully in Libra, and it is also the lord of the cosmic physical plane. So perhaps through this particular hierarchy, something very tangible and material will be working out. And especially in relation to the lowest area of the expression of the solar logos, namely his very, very densest plane, which would be allied to the matter of the previous solar system over which Saturn has something to say. Saturn has some rulership there. There's so many mysteries here. You can see what it would be like to be, maybe we can intuit what it would be like to be a member of the astrological department of the hierarchy, and have to take into consideration all of these planetary, interplanetary, intrasystemic and extrasystemic forces, all in their many cycles, helping us know what time it is and what we have to do and what energies we have to express accordingly. All right. He has as yet much cosmically to gain. Well, hopefully there's a little something there that is telling us something about this second creative hierarchy, the divine builders as the second ray is the form building ray, and ray two is very powerful with them, conferring soul or expanding the consciousness. Jupiter, its planet is the expander of consciousness. Are they burning suns of desire? Well, they certainly, out of sacrificial desire, long to descend into the five lower worlds and there redeem. That's our essential nature, which we have somewhat forgotten. We are kind of a part of these beings, or an emanation of these beings, and we have that great desire to help the solar logos lift up the vibratory fields, which are much more in tune with the previous solar system than with this solar system. So we are repatterning them. That is one of our monadic tasks as lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion. You say, take a look, the monad has devotion, you know. It's not something to be eschewed, you know. Devotion is a great factor, factor in the soul nature, factor in the monadic nature, factor in the planetary logos himself, a factor in our solar logos. When we have a term that we seem to have outlived, let us be careful that we discuss only the outliving of that quality on a particular level, and not the outliving of that quality as it appears on much higher levels. There we haven't outlived anything. It is the energy of this hierarchy which results in the manifestation of the divine androgene, which is the male-female soul, and also a name for the planetary logos. And in the seven centers of force, which are the seven spiritual energies. And on the monadic plane are seven great groupings of monads. Monads, yeah. Probably within the field of these seven, of seven great beings in this second creative hierarchy, seven manifested creative hierarchy. The divine androgene, there's a male-female balance, as there always is with the number two. Think about Gemini, related to the second ray, and think about the polarities, male and female polarities, and how the sign Gemini has a particular connection. You know, when you think about it, it just struck me. Look at the monad in relation to the signs of the mutable cross. In Virgo, the monad enunciates the great ideal through Kriya Shakti. Through Pisces, the monad seeks to save. Through Gemini, the great dualities of male-female are expressed and are united on that plane, but still are incipient in their two-ness, in their duality, and must go forth as the two lines of energy. And in Sagittarius, this is the fourth part of the mutable cross that I'm mentioning, the great journey is taken, the journey down through the five planes, the five Brahmic planes. And Sagittarius as well reorients at a certain type point when you're ready to take the path of higher evolution. Sagittarius is oriented towards that great journey. Sagittarius journeys down, Sagittarius journeys up. So we have the four signs of the common immutable cross all closely involved in the monad. And as I explained, I think I did, that the seventh initiation, it has a very Geminian quality, and that is taken by the monad on both love and wisdom, in relation to both love and wisdom, and in relation to the seventh plane. Okay, well, there, you know, so much we can do with the numbers, and every time we mention connections with numbers, new rays of light potentially flash forth. But it's not so much of a question of what can be known, although that is tantalizing, but what is useful to know. That's the important thing. And useful in what way? Useful in helping us accomplish what must be accomplished here in our lower worlds in order to serve the divine plan at this time. But, you know, just like pure research, many practical applications come out of pure research. You think you're searching for one thing, and all of a sudden, a new application appears. Well, it's the same way when we study these great abstract subjects. We sometimes say, well, of what earthly use are there? And then suddenly something flashes, which gives us an immediate application in the lower three worlds. So I think the analogy is valid. Oh, goodness, well, there we are at hierarchy number three. Imagine that. You know, this is speculation. But hopefully, there's wild speculation of the darkened concrete mind. And then there's the possibility that the mind may be held steady in the light of the soul, and that some aspects of triatal realization may come through via the partially built antikarana, and that Mercury may serve his function, and that accordingly the jungle of illusion may dissolve in flames and the path stand free or clear. Okay, hierarchy number three, now we're getting down to earth. This is a Brahmic hierarchy. The third, let's take a look at it. Lesser builders conferring form, the triple flowers, the fleur-de-lis. It's the eighth down, and the third ray is expressed in the manifested worlds, eight and three, as I discussed, being very both related to Mercury and to intelligence. Libra, the planet Saturn, the color green, the third ray green, Jnana Shakti, which is the Shakti of knowledge, the force of mind. Water, as it represents matter in the astral plane, and the number five up, another mental number. You know, the secrets of the ageless wisdom are concealed in number, signs, and symbols. And it's all just waiting to be unveiled if we can ever stop fighting with each other and emphasizing a narrow consciousness and a desire nature which acts on the basis of that narrow consciousness. We have to outlive that. Number three, the third creative hierarchy, or the eighth from a higher point of view, hence connected with the eighth sphere, interestingly, is a peculiarly interesting one. They are called the triads, capital T, for they hold in themselves the potency of triple evolution, mental, psychical, and spiritual. So here we have the three aspects of the spiritual triad, which these lives seem to nourish. But just as we said of the second creative hierarchy, they are the prototypes of the monads much higher than the monads, well, then this group has a lot to do with influencing the spiritual triads of man, but are probably much higher than the spiritual triads of man. These triads of life are inherently the three persons of the Trinity, so they are reflecting in man the higher Trinity which the planetary logos has and which the solar logos has. Here's a kind of a picture of a Trinity, if I may. Yeah, right here. Amazing. Here is a Trinity gathered around Sanat Kumara. And these first, second, and third Kumaras are the three Buddhas of activity. Here's the Trinity gathered around the Soda Logos. Soda Logos is right up there. And they are the Trimurti, the three persons systemically considered. And we have our spiritual triad reflecting this Trinity. So these triads of life are inherently the three persons of the Trinity. You know, we are the Trinity. We don't have to believe in it. Of course, believing helps to start out with, but we discover that we are that. And the Trinity of the spirit, soul, psychical nature, and mentality are within us. And are the flower of the earlier solar system from a certain angle. This makes you wonder whether creative hierarchy 2 did not per se flower in the previous solar system, but merely was there sacrificially as they could not descend very low in that system. So perhaps this is a genuine product of the previous solar system, the full flowering of that system. I always suspect that this creative hierarchy, the third, is higher than the fifth creative hierarchy, though, because the fifth creative hierarchy of solar angels is dual, you never know exactly from whence the higher aspect of that hierarchy emanated. In other words, it may be so that the fifth creative hierarchy in its lowest aspect is in fact lower than man, but that the fifth creative hierarchy in its higher aspect is really much higher than man. This is the mystery, and perhaps after putting together many speculations and many errors, convincing ideas may emerge. From another angle, when studied as the flower of the earlier eight. Eight. What are the earlier eight? They are the eightfold points awaiting opportunity to flame forth. Well, this tells us they have not flamed forth fully and are not fully liberated onto the cosmic astral plane. Now there's eight and there's eight. You know, when we think of eight, there are in a way eight planes connected with our solar system, but one of them is considered very low and below the threshold. Now, was there an earlier eight? Were there in fact seven, thus eight planes in our previous solar system? What is that earlier eight? Were they eightfold in that previous solar system? And is their eightfoldness in this present solar system far more flaming? They seem to be certainly an intellectual hierarchy, mental hierarchy. Even the symbol of the fleur-de-lis is interestingly correlated with very intellectual mental France, whose rays are their rays, the five and the three. And perhaps there's something to do with the number eight in France as well, because there have been problems in France with the number eight on the lower side during the time of the French kings, as D.K. tells us, but also the great Christ impulse through the Piscean soul of France, which flourished in some respect during the Middle Ages and which has yet to flourish fully in its scientific sensitivity to soul. That's the blend of its fifth ray and its Pisces soul. Fifth ray soul, Pisces soul. They are the devas who are ready for service, which is to give to another hierarchy certain qualities which are lacking. Which hierarchy is that? The human hierarchy? Which? The human? Because in a way, if you think about it, they are immediately above the human hierarchy. So one usually bestows or gives to a lesser hierarchy, immediately lesser, that which one can. Just like we, the human hierarchy, are in a way giving to the lower group of the fifth creative hierarchy, who are the personality. We are the, in a way, the redeemers of that type of energy, which is personality, and we have a great deal of help from the higher aspect of the fifth creative hierarchy, the solar angels. The mystery deepens, doesn't it? You know, I find myself having to read this, of course, very closely in order to make some sense out of it, and then new thoughts do come with very close reading. You know, DK was always saying, look, you people, you don't read carefully enough. You don't realize that I weigh every word, especially in a book like Esoteric Astrology or in a treatise on Cosmic Fire, you know, which was beyond what Alice Bailey really could know, obviously. And he's given such attention to the word, even though, you know, English is kind of, in AAB's words, kind of an inelastic tongue. The Tibetan is a master of the English language, and certainly in the philosophical aspects of it, and he's so careful. So we have to be careful too. And this presents a great issue for translators, doesn't it? Because, as AAB said, well, you know, I stopped believing in the literal word of the Bible when I saw the problems that existed in translation. So it's always hard to get the exactitude of the term. This hierarchy is regarded as the great donors of immortality, whilst themselves standing aloof from incarnation. What is incarnation in this respect? Incarnation is involvement with the dense physical body of the solar logos. Lords of sacrifice and love are they, but they cannot pass out of the etheric, logoic etheric body into the dense physical. Well, we have our plane of purposeful expression is the Buddhika fourth plane, the lowest plane in the cosmic ethers, but we have passed through, not as monads perhaps, or even as souls, but in part of our awareness we have passed through and are working in the three lower worlds, but these do not. Now the solar angels have really undertaken a sacrifice because they have passed through. There's an aspect of their nature which is definitely focused on the higher mental plane, which is in the dense physical body of the solar logos. They have passed through. But these beings being somewhat higher, we will review them in our next discussion. Great donors of immortality, and that's the number 8. Because 8 is death, and 8 is immortality. Indeed. All right, well, we are there. It's time to say the great invocation. We have finished here up to a point, and this is the end of EAA 19, and we are on page 41. So let us sound the great invocation together, and close ritually as we normally do. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. 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 Okay, we have gone to page 41, and I think we began on page 39. Two pages per time. Well, it's deep matter. We'll see whether we go any faster later. Page 39 to 41. Okay, friends, this is the conclusion of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 19, and we will see you for number 20. I'd like to be able to keep these things going so we at least have the illusion of progress, and we'll do our best accordingly. See you soon.